series of studies with you. I know the other speakers that come on a regular basis, Paul and Bob and so on, they're doing their own studies with you. And this morning I want to start looking at the book of Ezekiel. Not the easiest book, but then God has given it to us, not just to gather dust in our Bibles, but to be studied and to see what the message is in the book of Ezekiel. So I don't know how long it'll take us to go through it, but we'll see about it anyway. So let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 1, and we'll read the first 14 verses. This is just more or less an introduction. I'll not be really dealing with Ezekiel's vision until the next time I'm here. But we'll read verses 1 to 14 of Ezekiel chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man, and every one had four faces, and every one had four wings, and their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkled like the color of burnished brass. And they had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and they four had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they four had the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. And they went every one straight forward. Whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures, and the fire was bright, and out of the fire went forth lightning. And the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. It's very difficult to picture that, isn't it? And then you come into the wings and the wheels when you read on in Ezekiel chapter 1. But no matter what we think about this and try to picture this, this is a vision of God. And I think verse 1, where it says that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. And verse 28 says, the last verse says, in the middle of the verse, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. If you could see those two verses as bookends, and how we try to picture this, Ezekiel, at the start of his ministry, had a vision of God. He was given this great vision of God. And when it comes to difficult parts of Scripture, I always keep in mind, and I've mentioned this before, I always keep in mind the likes of Romans 15 and verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So Ezekiel is one of those books that was written for our learning. And so we're not to neglect it. We're not just to read the or preach from the easiest books of the Bible. God has given us 66 books, and we have to look at every one of them. Why would he give us a book just to be ignored and to be overlooked? And just to be sandwiched in between books that we do look at on either side and then skip over it. Leviticus is another good example of that. Jesus said in Luke 24 and 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And no doubt when those two journeyed on the road to Emmaus, the Lord Jesus opened up to them the Old Testament Scriptures, and I wonder what he said to them when he came to the book of Ezekiel and Christ in the book of Ezekiel. And an example of that is chapter 34, where false shepherds contrasted with true shepherds. Ezekiel was one of the true shepherds. He was going to feed the people of God. But chapter 34, verse 22 says, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. Now David was long gone, King David, from this scene of time. So who could this my servant David be but David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ? He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them, the Lord, I, the Lord, have spoken. And of course, when Jesus, in his earthly ministry, said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd. And he shepherds us today, doesn't he? He's our shepherd. And we are his sheep. Ezekiel is the fifth largest book in the Bible, after the Psalms, 150 Psalms. Isaiah has 66 chapters. Jeremiah has 52. Genesis has 50. And Ezekiel has 48 chapters. It divides itself lovely into four sections. Verses 1 to chapters 1 to 3 is Ezekiel's call and commission and preparation for his future ministry, which lasted, his prophecies stretched over a period of about 23-25 years. Chapters 4 to 24, we have his prophecies directed against Judah and Jerusalem. In chapters 25 to 32, his prophecies directed against surrounding nations who delighted in Jerusalem's fall. the Lord was going to say something to them. And in chapters 33 to 48, his prophecies of hope and for a better day. So that's an outline of the book of Ezekiel. It's a lovely name, Ezekiel. It means God strengthens, or God will give strength. Ezekiel. So just by way of outline, let us see, first of all, his personal circumstances. The very first verse says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month," that was around July time or so, the fourth month, Hebrew calendar, "as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar." What we can glean from the book of Ezekiel is this, that he was married. We don't know if he had any children. Children aren't mentioned. But his wife is mentioned in chapter 24, where she dies. And Ezekiel is left a widower. He was born around 623 BC. And it's interesting that for some months we looked and studied the book of Daniel. And if you compare the dates and so on, Ezekiel and Daniel were in Babylon at the same time. We don't know if they ever met. Ezekiel mentions Daniel in his book, as we'll see. But Daniel doesn't mention Ezekiel. So they were in the same city as captives. But they had two different ministries. You know, the Lord will have his people in different situations. Daniel walked the corridors of power in Babylon, as we saw. And how a faithful witness he was. But elsewhere in Babylon by the river Kibar was Ezekiel, and he was among the captives. And he had a ministry there among them. God had called Ezekiel to do something that Daniel wasn't to do. God called Daniel to do something that Ezekiel wasn't to do. They were taken captive from their home city of Jerusalem. Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet, probably raised in Jerusalem. He went into exile with Jehoiakim around 597 BC, and he lived by the Kibar River. And all we know of his personal life is from the book that's named after him. We don't know much information after that. Ezekiel would have been slightly older than Daniel. So why his book? We read in 2 Kings 24, 14 and 15 of this second batch of people that were taken to Babylon. 2 Kings 24 and 14. "Also he carried into captivity," and Nebuchadnezzar carried into captivity, "all Jerusalem, all the captains and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths, None remained except the poorest people of the land. 10,000 captives, and one of those 10,000 was Ezekiel. Miles away from Jerusalem to Babylon, around 900 miles. And it's interesting that Daniel was taken away in the first exile, the first people to be taken. And then Ezekiel, they ministered 900 miles from Jerusalem. And at the same time, and overlapping their ministries, Jeremiah was ministering in Jerusalem. He wasn't taken away. He was an eyewitness to the siege and to the terrible atrocities that took place there, to the starvation, to the cannibalism even. Awful. But the book of Ezekiel, why his book? One has said his book addresses the sins and problems of the people of God in his time, but looks forward to and beyond our time and to the end of time and then into eternity. This is why the man and his message are so important. And then we have that section in the book of Ezekiel, chapters 40 to 48, those nine chapters inclusive. And the very last words of the book of Ezekiel, verse 35 of chapter 48, the very last words are, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Those chapters which have been the grounds for much speculation, the building of a temple, there are those who claim that that temple is yet to be built. It's going to be built in some millennial period. Old Testament sacrifices are going to be reinstated again. Of course, I think that's all a nonsense, but anyway, it's a literal impossibility when you look at the geography and the measurements and so on of all that. And one has given this interpretation: do we not have here an anticipation of the many mansions or apartments to which Jesus entered when he ascended in order to prepare a place for us? Is this not an Old Testament picture of the heavenly kingdom that is open to all the true saints? Surely we have here an Old Testament presentation of the New Testament's New Jerusalem. Or the temple being Christ himself. Didn't Jesus say, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up? Jesus himself, the temple. And so those last chapters, chapters 40 to 48, they're much symbolism, and they point to the fullness of Christ, and the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. So we see his personal circumstances, and we can see that he was a priest. Verse 3 says, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. Most commentators agree when it says, now it came to pass in the 30th year, that it was the 30th year of Ezekiel's life. He was 30 years of age. He had been taken captive 5 years before that, when he was 25. 30 was the year when priests began their duties. According to Numbers chapter 4, in several verses there, verses 3, 23, 30, 35, 39, 43, 47. Just to quote from one of them, verse 47, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who enter the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. And no doubt there would have been a period of training before that. So here is Ezekiel, maybe to 25 years of age, maybe about to begin his priestly training, to start in the tabernacle temple when he's 30 years of age, and all of a sudden he's taken into captivity with 10,000 others. Ezekiel might have thought, Lord, what's going on here? Well, what a start to your ministry, his priestly training interrupted. And he's going to be 900 miles from Jerusalem in a foreign culture. You know, he was to trust God in the dark. Sure, we all do that, don't we? There's times in our lives when things come along and we wonder, oh, what's going on here? What's the Lord doing here? I've no doubt that Ezekiel had thoughts like that. Ezekiel was not to minister in the temple, God's earthly resting place. Ezekiel was not to ever see. We don't ever read of him returning to Jerusalem. And he never saw the temple of God. But no matter where he would be in the world, he would see the God of the temple. God is not restricted to a building, sure he's not. And one has said by the time of his 30th birthday, he had been in remote exile for 5 years with little or no prospect of returning to Jerusalem. Sometimes the Lord takes away so that he might give. For Christians, disappointment often precedes the dawn. When we are weak, then we are strong. And that's where the meaning of the name Ezekiel comes in. God strengthens, or strength comes from God. His personal circumstances, and he was a priest. He was a prisoner. In verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar. It's not that he was incarcerated. It's not that he was in chains. He wasn't in a cell. They could move openly. It's as if Chaldea, the country of Chaldea, the city of Babylon, was like an open prison. But he was still a prisoner. He had still been taken away against his will, along with those thousands of others, from Jerusalem to Babylon, around 900 miles, by a foreign invading army. He was a prisoner. In the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. Jehoiakim was the 19th king of Judah's 20. Reigned only three months. The commentators would talk about the prophets of the Old Testament. They're those who are pre-exilic, prophesying before the exile, and then exilic prophets who prophesied during it, and then post-exilic, those who prophesied afterwards when the people did return, like Zechariah and Malachi and Ezra and Nehemiah. But Ezekiel was one of the exilic prophets. He was in exile. Interesting word, isn't it? Exile. Here's what somebody has said in another study Bible that I work with. Exile. It is not simply being homeless. Rather, it is knowing that you do have a home, but that your home has been taken over by enemies. Exile. It is not being without roots. On the contrary, it is having deep roots, which have now been plucked up. And there you are with roots dangling, writhing in pain, exposed to a cold and jeering world, longing to be restored to native and nurturing soil. Exile is knowing precisely where you belong, but knowing that you can't go back. Not yet. And it's interesting that Christians, we are in exile from heaven. We are not citizens of the world anymore as such. We have dual citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, Paul said. That's our home. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. We have come to realize that our existence is not just about living between birth and death, but there's more. There's more. Hebrews 11, verse 13. We are called strangers and pilgrims on the earth. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1, he addresses the saints there, sojourners and pilgrims. A pilgrim is someone who's on a journey, someone who's constantly on the move. And we're on that journey to our heavenly home. And here's Ezekiel. Just like Daniel, as we saw in Daniel, Daniel was only a teenager when he was taken from his home. Ezekiel's the same, taken from familiar surroundings, taken from a daily routine of life, looking forward to ministering in the temple in his home city in Jerusalem. For the years allocated until 50 years of age. Then he could retire at 50. But he would have done his years of service in the temple. And he was looking forward to that. But he's taken away from all that. There's going to be no temple to serve in. But 900 miles away, there's going to be a God to serve. Having faith can be a costly thing. And one has said this, out of the ruins of Jerusalem came a man named Ezekiel. He was among the Jews taken to Babylon after the fall of his country. He left behind his city. He left behind his temple. He left behind his home. But he didn't leave behind his faith. Every mile of that 900 miles from Jerusalem to Babylon, Ezekiel was trusting God in the dark, wondering what the future held. And 5 years later or so, I wonder what his thoughts were that first year, that second year, that third year. And then there came a time when he's able to write as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. What a moment that must have been in his life. But for us today, however dark and difficult the times, God will have his Ezekiels. God will have his Daniels. God will have his Jeremiahs, etc. To be witnesses for him. To be his salt. And to be his light. So I trust that this has maybe whetted your appetite to read the book of Ezekiel. Go out and get a good, decent commentary on the book of Ezekiel. And I trust the Lord will bless these studies when we come to them. Let us sing as we close Psalm 68, verses 7 to 11. O God, what time thou didst go forth before thy people's face, and when through the great wilderness thy glorious marching was. Can you picture 10,000 people on the march from Jerusalem to Babylon? 900 miles or so must have taken some weeks. But God was among them. And he had his Ezekiel there. Then at God's presence shook the earth, then drops from heaven fell. This Sinai shook before the Lord, the God of Israel. Psalm 68, verses 7 to 11, to the tune Crediton, and number 49. Let's stand and sing, verses 7 to 11.